Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. Today we're going to talk about biblical healing. If God can heal His people, why is there so much sickness in the church? This is a question that I asked myself when a good friend of mine died several years ago of brain cancer, and she was in the church every time the doors were open. She was what you would consider a good Christian. Shortly after that, I was diagnosed with basal cell carcinoma with aggressive growth pattern. We had just been coming into the realization that our Abba, our Creator, had a name, and that Yeshua's name was not Jesus, it was Yeshua, which means Yahweh's salvation. And while I was waiting for the 2 weeks that it took to get into a specialist after my first biopsy and diagnosis, I was in a particularly bad mood. I was going through all the grief and anger of why me, and I said something I shouldn't have said, and my husband said, well, Yeshua, he wouldn't have said that. And I said, well, he didn't have cancer. And I immediately felt my Heavenly Father smack me, of course, and I started to cry. And I went on a long walk right after that, crying out to my Abba, and I heard in that still small voice him tell me, you don't have cancer, it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, you belong to me, you were bought with the blood of my son Yeshua, you don't have cancer. It belongs to the enemy. You belong to me. So I went home and told my husband what I had heard. And then when I got into the specialist a few days or a week later, and then I got the results back from the second biopsy from the specialist, and there was nothing. This is the actual diagnosis of the second biopsy on the screen. Dermal fibrosis consistent with scar extends to both lateral edges. No residual squamous cell carcinoma identified. Prior biopsy site changes. It had changed. There was absolutely no cancer cells left. I had heard from my Abba, the cancer did not belong to me. I was completely healed, and I even went back in a couple months just to make sure, and there was nothing left. I had heard from my Abba. I believe that sometimes when we go through these trials of health, it is just to bring us closer to our Abba, to increase our faith, or to try and tell us something. And so we need to seek Him and trust in Him completely. By Yeshua's stripes, we were already healed. We are healed. And sickness and disease do not belong to us. We need to be careful of what we say and not accept diagnoses as belonging to us. The doctors are not prophets of Yahweh, and so they should not be allowed to prophesy over us. But instead, we should seek our Abba and His healing and trust and believe in His word completely and just see what it is He is trying to teach us through these trials that we may be going through, which are for our benefit. So let's take a closer look at what His word actually does say about healing, about what Yeshua did for us, and about the promises to us. And His word does not lie. Here are just a few things I learned through my trial. I belong to Yahweh, bought with a price. He deserves my obedience. He loves me and tries me in order to teach me and build my faith. I can believe all of His promises. They all belong to me as His child, reborn through Yeshua into His family. Physically, the enemy gains a stronghold into our bodies to cause disease through what we voluntarily eat or ingest through our mouths. I need to eat healthier. Father uses physical principles to teach spiritual truths. In the same way that the enemy or disease can gain a physical stronghold through what we put into our mouths, he can also gain a spiritual stronghold in our lives through what we willingly put into our minds, through our eyes and our ears. We need to guard all of our thresholds against entry by the enemy. Our bodies are the temple of the living Elohim, complete with thresholds. Just as a priest was stationed at the threshold of the temple in Jerusalem, so we also should allow Yeshua, our high priest, to be stationed at the thresholds of our bodies, being our eyes, ears, mouth, nose, and even skin. We already briefly touched on Yahweh and Yeshua's name, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail pretty quick, just so that you understand where I'm coming from and why I'm using these names, if you have not heard this before. Who is Yahweh's son? Jesus is an anglicized transliteration of a Greek rendering of our Messiah's name in the Greek Septuagint, Greek translation of the Old Testament made by Jewish sages before Yeshua's time. The same Greek translated name is used for Joshua's name. The pronunciation of Joshua's name in Hebrew is Yehoshua or Yahoshua. A more correct pronunciation of our Messiah's name would have been closer to or the same as Joshua's Hebrew name. Yehoshua means Yah's or Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh is our Father, Yeshua is our Messiah and Savior, but they are one. Our Creator identifies Himself as I, Yahweh, 164 times in the Old Testament. Isaiah 12, 1 through 6 declares, "In that day you shall say, I thank you, Yahweh, for Yahweh is my strength and my song, and He has become my deliverance or my salvation. In that day you shall say, praise Yahweh, call upon His name, make mention that His name is exalted." Ancient Paleo-Hebrew letters for Yahweh mean hand revealed, nail revealed. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas says, "My Lord, my God," when he sees Yeshua's nail-scarred hands. His name does matter. His name also has a meaning, as all Hebrew names do. Yahweh in Hebrew, the root means to exist, always be, come to pass, become, and specifically implies self-existent. So then the meaning of His name, Yahweh, could simply be summed up in the phrase, He is. Yahweh told Moses, "I am that I am." So then Moses, speaking to others, could have said, "He is," in the third person. He just is. He is everything and all that we need. So then, does what we call Him really matter? Zephaniah 3:9, speaking of the end times, says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yahweh to serve Him with one consent." Two times in John 17, Yeshua declares He wants those who are His to be one as He and His Father are one. Jesus or Yeshua, does it matter? Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of Yeshua," means Yahweh's salvation, "shall be saved." Acts 4:12, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yeshua," Yahweh's salvation, "shall be saved." I'm not saying that we can't be saved in the name of Jesus. I was saved when I thought His name was Jesus. His authority is what saves us. What He did on the cross is what saves us. However, everything makes so much more sense when we realize that His name actually means Yahweh's salvation. He is the salvation sent by Yahweh as promised. Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation, healed many 2,000 years ago. You can read about them in these scriptures. Press pause and write them all down. John 21:25, "And there were also many other things which Yeshua did, the which, if they were written down every one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that should be written." So we have lots of healings written down, and there were plenty more, I'm sure, that were not even written. Now, before we go any further, I do want to give a quick disclaimer. Please note, modern medicine can have a limited place in our lives, especially when prayerfully considered before Yahweh, though I totally believe, based on Scripture and my personal experience, that a redeemed and obedient child of Yahweh should have no need of modern healthcare or doctors. I also realize that while we are in a time of repentance and learning, or infancy in our faith, modern medicine, when prayerfully and carefully considered, can help to make us more comfortable, heal injuries, ease symptoms, and even help us recover more quickly from many illnesses. If you are currently on prescription medications and under a doctor's care, I certainly do not recommend that you quit the drugs and/or your doctor's care cold turkey. Instead, I would recommend also visiting a naturopath who is a redeemed believer, along with lots of prayer for guidance and wisdom from our Heavenly Father as to His will for you and your healing. I am not a physician, nor am I attempting to give any medical advice. I am simply sharing the word of our Creator as it has been revealed to me. Your walk with our Savior may vary. We are called into a personal relationship with Yeshua and are told to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2:12. That said, Yeshua had the power to heal many 2,000 years ago and even raise the dead back to life. Yeshua's healings were immediate, no doctor needed. Yeshua also had the power to share his healing powers with his disciples. While he was still with them on earth, Yeshua instructed and empowered them to heal, which they did as testified in Matthew 10:1, 10:8, and Mark 6:12-13. After Yeshua's ascension, the disciples were able to heal in the name of Yeshua through the empowering of the Holy Spirit as testified in Acts 3:6-9, 5:16, 8:7, 14:9-10, and 28:8-9. Do we know our Messiah? And I'm not talking about do we just know his name. I'm saying do we know our Messiah? Our fathers inherited lies, Jeremiah 16:19, which they passed down to us. Our shepherds have led us astray, Jeremiah 50:6. We have sought shepherds out who would tickle our itching ears, Timothy 4:3. We have stopped searching the scriptures ourselves for the most part. We have taken pleasure in unrighteousness. He caused us to believe the lies because we loved not the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. What truth? We are told, he that says, I know him, but keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:3-4. So then what are Yeshua's commandments? Yeshua is the word of Yahweh made flesh who dwelt among us, John 1. He spoke only the words the Father gave him, John 12:49-50. Yeshua is Yahweh's word and also spoke only Yahweh's word. So then if their words were the same, their commands would also be the same, would they not? I am Yahweh, I change not, Malachi 3:6. Yeshua the Messiah, Yahweh's salvation, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua is Yahweh's word and salvation from the foundation. The Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth, Revelation 13:8. He declares the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. His message, salvation, commands, and promises, including healing, did not change from the Old Testament to the New. Healing in the New Testament needs to be understood in context of the Old. Start reading from the beginning of the book. Yeshua and Paul both taught in context of the Old Testament. The Bereans in Acts 17 searched what is now called the Old Testament daily to see if what Paul taught was true. Yeshua said he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill, and not the smallest part of the law would pass away until heaven and earth pass away. He also warned that whoever breaks the least command or teaches men to do so will be least in the kingdom, Matthew 5:17-19. Yeshua fulfilled the requirement of the law in that the penalty for sin is death. He was sinless, but took our sins and our deserved punishment upon himself. He died in our place. Some argue that Yeshua gave us new commands or changed the commands, but is that the case? Yeshua's disciples were told to love one another as he loved them, John 13:34. Yeshua said the second greatest command was to love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39-40. Not new. Nope, these were not new at all. Love thy neighbor as thyself is in Leviticus 19:18, and love the stranger born among you as thyself is in Leviticus 19:34. The only thing new about this command, which he says, a new command I give you, was that the disciples now had a living example of how to live out this command that existed from the beginning. They were commanded to walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6. But what do Yahweh's commands that Yeshua reinforced and his instructions have to do with Yeshua's healing? Thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee, is what Yeshua said in John 5:14. In Luke 5:20-25, Yeshua equated saying, thy sins be forgiven thee with, rise up and walk. Forgiveness of the man's sin was evidently a prerequisite for his healing. What is a tzitzit, and did Yeshua wear them? Bid them that they make fringes or tzitzit in the borders, hems, or edges of their garments, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them. Numbers 15:37-41. Yeshua, a Jew who lived out Yahweh's commands perfectly for our example, would have worn these tzitzit, which represent remembrance of Yahweh's commands, on the edges or hems of his garments. A woman which was diseased touched the hem of his garment, and the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew 9:20-22. All that were diseased besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment and were made perfectly whole. Matthew 14:35-36. So evidently touching the tzitzit on the hem of Yeshua's garment is a picture of the remembrance of Yahweh's commands, and then these people were made completely whole and healed. Yahweh's commands, his word, does heal. Was there healing in the Old Testament before Yeshua came to earth? 1 Corinthians 10:6-11 tells us that those things which happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness after they left Egypt were for an example to us. So let's take a look at healing in the wilderness. Exodus 15:26. Yahweh says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. I am Yahweh that heals thee." 5 verses later, in Exodus 16:4-28, Yahweh told Moses he would give the people manna to test them to see if they would obey his law or not. They were to gather it for 6 days each week, but were to honor his holy Sabbath and not go out on the 7th day to gather it. Some went out to gather on the 7th day or the Sabbath. Yahweh asked how long they would refuse to keep his laws and his commands. Since they are an example for us, and the first test they received was to see if they would honor and obey the Sabbath, let's take a look at the 7th day Sabbath. Should we be honoring and obeying it? Let's compare their journey to ours. They were redeemed by applying the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorposts and lintel of their homes in Egypt. They died to slavery when their Egyptian slave masters drowned in the Red Sea. They were reborn on the other side of the Red Sea as the nation of Israel and children of Yahweh. They were promised healing and tested for obedience to the Sabbath via manna from heaven. They learned about Yahweh's Torah instructions and received Yahweh's commandments on tablets of stone. They learned obedience and received chastisement during their sanctifying journey to the promised land. Now let's compare their journey to ours. We are redeemed by applying the blood of Yeshua, the ultimate Passover lamb, to the doorposts and lintel of our hearts. We are to die to the slavery of sin when we are water baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the set-apart Spirit. We are reborn out of the baptismal waters as adopted children of Yahweh, grafted into his chosen people Israel. To keep with the pattern, shouldn't we also trust Yahweh's promise of healing and begin honoring his Sabbath and Moedim, or appointed times, and set them apart as they were told to and then tested with? Shouldn't we study Yahweh's Torah, commands, and instructions and have them written on our hearts by his set-apart Spirit as he wrote them on tablets of stone for them in the wilderness? We need to learn obedience and receive chastisement during our sanctifying journey to his kingdom at the end of the age, just as they were sanctified through their wandering in the wilderness before entering the promised land. Let's take a look at a few more promises of healing in the Old Testament, which I like to call the first writings. Deuteronomy 7:11-12-15, "Thou shalt keep the commands, statutes, and judgments, which I command thee this day, and do them. If you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt upon you." We certainly have been seeing some evil diseases of Egypt lately, haven't we? On the flip side, what does Yahweh promise for disobedience? Deuteronomy 20:58-61 tell us, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh thy Elohim, Then Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which thou were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yahweh bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Sadly, the church and believers have gotten further and further from the commands of Yahweh. We have sanctified and set apart evil things and called them good. It's no wonder that we are seeing and being worried about evil diseases that are coming upon us. Do we have our answer, or at least part of it? According to Scripture, the short answer to the question presented in the title of this video and our book, If God Can Heal His People, Why Is the Church So Sick?, would be disobedience. We are promised blessings and healing for obedience, and we are also promised cursings, sicknesses, and plagues for disobedience. But those promises were to them, right? I mean, after all, aren't we taught that the law was done away with? We've already seen Yahweh and Yeshua are the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is not done away with. We've seen that the things that happened to them in the wilderness were for our example. Are the promises to the church different than the promises to the children of Israel? Was there one covenant for them and a new covenant with different promises and different laws for us? We've already seen the answer to the different laws for us is not the case. But we're going to reinforce that with more scripture. Let's follow these covenant promises through scripture all the way to us, our time today, to Yeshua, through Yeshua. Covenant, or Brit in Hebrew, appears over 290 times in the Old Testament alone. The Strong's definition for covenant, or Brit, is a compact or league in the sense of cutting, animal sacrifice used to seal the deal, in other words. So let's take a look at these covenants in order and how they follow throughout history in Yahweh's word. The first time the word Brit or covenant appears in scripture is Genesis 6 and 9. Yahweh promises to save Noah, his family, and every species of the earth from the flood, and then promises never again to destroy the earth by water. The next Brit or covenant is made to Abraham and his descendants starting in Genesis 12. The first promise to Abraham was conditional in that if Abram, his name was not Abraham yet, would leave his father's house and go to the land Yahweh would show him, Yahweh would bless him and make him a great nation, blessing those that would bless Abram and cursing those that would curse Abram, Genesis 12, 1-4. Genesis 12-14, Abraham obeyed and Yahweh kept building upon this promise with each act of obedience displayed by Abram. Abram prospered and was protected through many trials and times of famine. Yahweh never abandoned Abram or his family, even though we see Abram mess up several times through this time of sanctification. We see that Abram, while not perfect, is a man of hospitality and fair dealings and has a desire to obey Yahweh. Abram was a man of faith, and he showed his faith by his obedience. Abraham inquires of Yahweh in Genesis 15 how it is that Yahweh will accomplish his promised blessing of making a great nation of his descendants because Abram was childless and his wife Sarah was aged and barren. Yahweh answered by again promising him that he would indeed have an heir out of his own loins. Abram believed Yahweh, and this faith was counted to him for righteousness. In Genesis 15:18, Yahweh turns all of the promises made to Abraham into a covenant promising to give him and his descendants all the land from the Nile River to the Euphrates River forever. I'm sorry, we're all out of time, but you can watch the entire video at www.hiswordheals.com and go to the blog page. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
Oh Yahweh, how great are your works!